since I just turned on the recorder. Okay, we're looking at the faculty courses ones that are on the loops combo. And the one I'm looking at right now is faculty courses user entry. So that basically means that I'm going to be taking in the data that I need from the user. So what semester? So I'm going to say enter semester, and I'm going to say fall 2016 or something, and say okay, and then I'm going to say spring 2017 and say okay, and then enter done when finished, so I'm entering done. Now it wants me to enter courses, so I'm going to say CIS 120, and I'm going to be lazy and not give names, and CIS 122, and CIS 150, and CIS 156, and CIS 159, and done. Okay, so here is my setup, and I don't know, did I hit enter there at some point? Spring 2017 is the one I'm going to choose, and the course is... Okay, why am I getting that? That's interesting. Courses for the semester, I do have one more. All right, and I chose CIS 156, and I am adding a course, and then I will choose 120, and I'm adding a course, and choose 159, add a course, and then clears everything out. Okay? So I and exits. So basically the point here is that I am taking in user entry. When you have data that you want to load at the beginning, you have to decide whether the data can be hard-coded into the program or whether the data is coming in such that you want to enter it every time you run it. And I think I mentioned that my husband had a client that sold gold at one point. And so every time before they ran, they wanted to enter the price of gold as it stood right now while they were about to run. Okay, because gold was fluctuating all over the place, and they didn't want to have the risk of having it hard-coded into the program. Actually, at one point, they were doing that, and they decided that was not a good plan. Okay, so the load, which I'm doing down here, is I want to load two things. I want to load the semesters, and I want to load the courses. So I've got two loops going on here. One up at the top, one down at the bottom, and both of these are on the form load. Okay, so on the form load, I want to fill in the box up here, which is going to contain the semester, and I want to fill in the box here, which is going to contain the courses that I'm teaching or that I'm taking, depending on what perspective. Okay, so those are what I want to do. So I said dim user entry, and I'm doing it on the load. So I'm loading these in. So I said dim user entry as string. And then I say, okay, user entry is going to be input box, end of the semester, and a done when finished. So they can put in as many semesters as they want, and I'm going to keep adding them in the loop because the loop is controlled by do while user entry is not equal to none. Done, rather. So as soon as they enter in done, I'm out of here and I dropped out of the next loop. But while they're there, I am saying in CBO semester, okay, I am going to add something. And I'm going to add the user entry. So the user entry has come in. Well, prior to entering the loop, I turn in the initializing one. I then add it as long as it's not done. If it was done that they typed, then I'm out of here. But if it's not done, I add it, and then I put up another input box and ask them to enter another semester. I loop back. Again, if they entered done, then I don't loop back, or I don't go in once I loop back. And I just circle through there, letting them enter as many semesters. And then when that one is done, I drop out and I say, okay, user entry is now going to be the course. Again, do it as long as it's not done. Whatever they enter is being added to the items in the CBO courses. So I filled CBO semester, and now I'm filling CBO courses. And this is one way to take in data that I'm going to be using in the course of the program. Okay. So, the other thing is up at the top, okay, button add courses adds them to a box that I'm accumulating. So again, if I start this, and I'm going to enter fall 16. Actually, I'll enter spring 16. And then say okay. And then fall 16. Okay. And then spring 17. Okay. And then done. So now it's saying enter the courses. So I'm saying CIS 120, CIS 122, CIS 150, CIS 156, CIS 159, and then I will hit done. Okay. So I now have the semesters, and I don't see why I've got that space. I've got to look and see. I think it may be something I'm doing up here. And it now says courses for the CIS 17 semester, okay, because I chose that. Okay, so it's now saying courses for the CIS 17 semester. And then I can come up here and I can pick the courses that somebody is taking. So I say, I selected 150 and I say add a course. And apparently I just did it. Select 156 and say add a course. And select 159 and say add a course. And then I am going to have the, it says courses for the CI for the spring 17, and somehow I managed to get the 150 up there twice. Okay. So the button add courses down here is saying take whatever course it was, cbocourses.txt, and add it to this list. So whatever one I selected, it is saying add it to this list. Okay, so it's going in and going to the CBO, the text, and saying add it to this list of courses. Up here, when the selected index changed, in other words, I highlighted something, I used this technique where I said courses for the, and then I chose the semester that I'd highlighted, and then I said semester, and then I added a blank line. So I added in the semester that I'd chosen inside a message, and then I did the skip line, which got me the blank line. Okay? So I am selecting from the list up there, and if I select that blank place, it just says courses for the semester. I've been having trouble with this mouse, and I think that the blank lines were caused by me and the mouse, but anyway, because I don't remember them ever showing up before. Okay. So that's how I can add courses in, and I'm doing it by having the user put in the input. Then if I want to clear, I can actually go do CBO and select the index back to a negative 1, and it resets. And then the list box, I actually put a clear one. But the two CBOs, the combined, the two lists, I just said take the selected index and set it back to negative 1. Okay, so for this box and this, I just set it back to negative 1, and that's just a way that you can clear things out. And I meant to. Okay, that's a acceptable way to clear things out. Okay, now the other one that I looked at, we're going to open a different one. And these are all basically the same now, except that I am setting up the data coming in differently. So on this one, I'm setting up the data in here. And I'm saying, as you load, set up those and set up those. So I've hard-coded it into the program. Okay, so that now when I run this, everything else is the same, but these are hard-coded in. So they're all sitting there. So I pick spring, and it says courses for the spring semester. I pick a course and say add the course. I pick another course and I say add the course. And I keep going. So this is another way of setting it up, is that I can just, during the load phase, fill all the boxes. Okay, so that's an alternate way of doing it. And then if you look at the third one, this mouse is driving me crazy. This mouse. And I think it was courses that was left, right? And in this one, let me go back. If I come in here under items collection, I set it up in under the items collection. So that's the third way of doing it. And if you look for items collection for the next box, I set up the courses there. So that's a third way of doing it, is using the properties and using items collection to set up the data that you want for the boxes. Okay, so you've got basically, you can set them up in the properties, you can set them up internally in the code, and you can ask the user to enter them in. Okay. Obviously, asking the user to enter them in is if the user is going to be changing the stuff. you want the user to enter them in. Because probably, you know, you might want to tell them, you can go in and fix this, fix the collection, but then again, you might not. So you have to look at your user and decide what you want to do there. Okay. So those are basically the three ways to do that. And reset, setting the index to -1 worked, and reset text also works. Those are two ways to clear out combo boxes. You can just say reset text, or you can do that -1 solution. And I did one of each on here. Okay. So the purpose for this was to just go over the different ways you can set things up. Okay. Okay. That was finishing up from the week before last. So that week is done. What I want to start looking at this week is breaks. So I want you to go to the homepage, and under notes and handouts, there is minor, intermediate, and major break logic. And, okay, under notes, minor, intermediate, and major break logic and processing. And it's a PowerPoint. And I want you to open it. Okay, so what I've got here is I've got some data that I want to process, and this is a very typical situation. Companies need reports, and they need totals by different things. So, here I've got the first two characters of the division, the next two characters of the branch, and the next two characters of the department. And they want a report like this that gives the total for department 12, then the total for department 15, and those are the two departments within branch 10. So I want the total for branch 10. And then I switch over to the total for department 17 and 22, and I've got those two make up. Well, this one actually was the only one in branch 20. And then the division was all of the things above there. And then the final total is the final total. So I'm giving management a breakdown of totals by department, by branch, by division, and by final. Okay. Now, the first thing that becomes true when you do this is that you need to have these in order. So before you do anything else, you need a sort. Okay, you need to have a sort. Now the sort could be built into the beginning of your program, but you gotta have them sorted in order for this to work. Okay, so I've got these, if you look back at this, I've got these in order by division. Then within division, I have them by branch. And within branch, I have them by department. Okay, so it's a three-way sort. I'm sorting on department, within branch, within division. Okay. And this report can either come out on paper or it can come out on the screen or whatever. But it's a kind of report that is useful for a certain level of, especially mid-management or lower management, to see how things are working. Okay, so I came over here now and just basically try to show the data and where the data came from and where it is on the report. So basically, if you look here,
I processed hoe, and I processed rake, and then I raked trowel. And department had changed. So that means I need a total for the previous department. And I don't know that until I've read the first record for the new department. I don't know that Department 12 is over until I read the record for the next department. So when I read the 15, it causes me to write out the total for Department 12 and then start processing 15. And I have to be careful that I haven't lost the record that I'm going to start processing that caused the break. Okay, the 15 was the record that caused the break. And I can't lose that. I need to keep that so that after I write out the total, I will then write out the record that caused the break. Okay? Does that concept make sense? Questions, anyone? So the next thing is looking at the logic. Okay. So I've got a main line, and I broke this down, and at the time, whatever I was doing, I was breaking it down into A was initialized, B was processed, and C was wrapping up things. So the program has the three parts. Initialized was simply opening the files and handling a date that I wanted to put on, and then processing was the next thing. So I said, read the first record. If there's that end, move no to more records. So set an indicator, basically, to say that I've run out of records. So I set up an indicator, and I'm moving no to that indicator. Okay. So basically, this is the same way as writing read the first record and then putting the decision in down there that says, is it the end? Is it at the end? But in flowcharting, people usually allow the read to kind of have an implied if in it. And you can say, add in, do this. And the way I learned it was to do it with the dotted lines, which kind of emphasized the fact that there was an if going on here. I don't know. So now I need to hold the information. So I'm saying, read the first record and take the division, the branch, and the department and move them all to a hold area. Because I need to be able to compare the things. I need to know what the last record was. Remember when we looked back and I said, when I read record 15, it told me that it was break, that record 12 was done. Well, the only way I know that is I can look back and see what the previous record had. And so if I put the information in a hold area, I will have it. So on this first one, I would be putting 01, 10, and 12 into the hold areas. Okay? And then I say, as long as more records is not equal to no, I'm going to do the loop. Okay? If more records is equal to no, then I'm done. But I have to write the last minor total for the last group, the last intermediate total. Minor is department, intermediate is branch, and the last major total, which is division, and then write out the final total. So if I've run out of data, I have to write out the last totals, the totals for the group that I was processing when I ran out of data. Okay. So now I look at the next flowchart, and this says, okay, do the loop. When I do the loop, I check first to see if the division has changed.
And I do that by saying if the division is not equal to whole division. And you know what? I'm going to go back and take a picture because I'm not sure I did it. And now I can take a picture of this one. Okay, so I'm checking to make sure if the division has changed, the way I have things up set up, that means the branch has changed and the department has changed. Everything has changed. If it's a new division, come on. My world up here is not exactly working correctly. Thank you. So, if the division has changed, then I've got to deal with the fact that it's got a new department, a new branch, and a new division. So I write out the total for all three. If the division is the same, then I check to see if the branch has changed. If the branch has changed, I write out the department and the branch totals. If the branch hasn't changed, I check to see if the department has changed. And if the department has changed, I write out the department total. Okay? And again, if you go back and look at the data, you can see that happening. When the department changed from 12 to 15, I wrote out a department total. When the division, a branch changed from 10 up to 20, I needed to write out the total for department 15 and the branch total for branch 10. So I needed to write them out. When I get down to the point that the division changes, okay, so when I got to the point that the division changed and went from 01 to 02, then I had to write out the department because it was a new department. I had to write out the branch because it was also a new branch. And I had to write out the division because it was a new division. And this logic is actually called break processing. Okay, so when the division changed from 1 to 2, I had to write out the total for division 1, the total for the last branch in that division, and the total for the last department in that branch in that division, and write them all out. That end of file stuff that I was processing, talking about before, wrote all those four lines at the bottom out. Okay, so now where are we? At this point, the next thing I said was, I've run out of room here, so go to B. Notice all of these have come together now. If I needed to write totals, I've written the totals. And now it's all come together. The totals have been written. So once the totals have been written, I need to process the record that caused that break. So I go in and I say, okay, do the detail for B1B and then read another record. In other words, write it out and then read another record. Now in the writing out, I ask, did I need a header? If I did, do a header routine. Otherwise, set up the line, write it, and then add to all of the totals. So every time I write a line, I add to all of the totals. Okay, now some people when they do this do it differently than I do. They add to the minor total, then when the minor total changes, they add to the intermediate. When the intermediate changes, they add it to the major. And that works, and when the major is done, they add it to the final. That's a fine way of doing it. I just like adding to all of them. When I write a line, I add to all of them. And I just like doing that better. Okay. But again, you will see other people that do it differently. So now I go over here, and in my minor routine, and notice all of these are basically the same. In my minor routine, I set up the minor total line. I write it. Then I reset the department to the department hold. Because now I am processing a new department, and I want to compare to that new department. So I am resetting the department and putting department into department hold. When I read the first record, I put department into department hold. Now it has changed, or I wouldn't be doing the minor routine. So I'm taking department and putting it into department hold, because that's the new thing I want to compare to. So when I write out the minor line for department 12, it was because I read department 15. The 15 is now being put in the hold instead of the 12.
And I realize that cell phones are a wonderful thing. Please put them down. There's more than one was looking at them. Okay.
Intermediate, write, reset. Major, set them up, write, reset. And then the other reset I do is I set the minor total back to zero, the intermediate total back, and the major total,
because I am looking at the resetting of the total to start a new total. Okay. This tends to be the kind of thing where it's just better to look.
Okay. Then when I get boring again, you can pull up the cell phones again.
Okay, and then in the final routine, I set up the final total and write it. I don't have to reset anything because I'm all done. And then this was the header routine to write out the headers, and wrap up simply closes the files. So, I went through and translated that. And when I did this, this was translated into COBOL. We're going to go and look at it in Visual Basic. Okay, but I translated this into a language. But it took a lot of work to do, so I didn't redo it. Okay, so now if you would go in and bring up the 156, go back in here. And I've got something that says notes on breaks, which kind of tells you a little bit about what we just did. But what I want to do is find the code. And it's under break and validation code, zipped. So you can open that and bring it out. And when you get there, finally, there will be two. One that says PR minor, and one that says PR MIM. I want to do the PR minor first, and then we'll do the PR MIM, which stands for minor, intermediate, major. So open the one that says PR minor. This mouse is going to drive me crazy. Thank you. I don't understand why it's not doing that. I'm not finding minor. I found it at home when I played with this last night. Minor.txt. Breakdown. Has anybody got it to run?
Yeah.
So it's just me. I figures. Okay. I still don't understand why mine's not running. But if yours running, that's the important thing. Let's try this one more time. Nope. Okay, so if I make this E colon. Okay, fine. Actually, it should just work with E colon backslash. Still doesn't like it. All right, let's just look at it your way. Because your way seems to be working, so we'll just look at it that way. If you notice, what comes up is a box and two buttons. Okay, because the form has got the two buttons on it. And the buttons are process and exit. Now, my problem is that when I did this, if you do it, I wanted to do kind of a step through. So I hit process for every single line that I output it. And so if you're running it, you're going to see every line come up one at a time, and you have to hit process to run every line. What I'm going to be asking you to do is to go back and fix this so that when I hit process, it runs once and generates the entire thing, as opposed to having to hit process over and over and over again. Okay. And the data is coming up here in the list minor. And I still don't understand why it's decided it won't run for me, but that's all right. So now if we look at the code, okay, I started out and I said, I have an open file. I have a file and I open it. And that's where I am having problems is with my open. But there it is. I said file one open, minor text. Open mode is input. Okay? And it has the data file is inside already. So that's why it runs, for you guys at least. And the minor text is already inside the program in the bin area, actually. And you can go and look at it. So when I say to run it, it says, if not, end of file. Then input the work department number and input the work amount. Now, as you can see, when you run this, minor only means the only thing I was keeping track of was departments. When the department changed, I was putting out a total. And the only thing I was keeping track of was departments. So now I'm saying, if work whole department is not equal to work department number, then, okay, now, what I was doing here is saying there are two reasons why the whole department is not equal to the one that I just inputted. One of them is that I just started the program, and it's the first time through, so they're not equal. The other reason is that it's changed. It's changed. New department. So I asked that question. If the hold is not equal to work department number, then check and see. If work department number is empty, then I know it's one situation. Otherwise, I know it's the other situation. Okay? So if work department number is empty, then that means that I need to take and put the department number into the hold area and all that. I think I just pointed to the wrong thing. If work department is not empty, I should have said. Okay. If it's not equal to spaces, let me try this one more time. Because I'm saying it backwards. If it's not equal to spaces, then that means it's a break. And so I'm handling the break. Else, it means it's the first time put the work department number into the work hold area. Okay, and I was saying that totally backwards as if I was asking if they were equal. So if work hold department is not empty, basically. If it's not empty, then that means I've done processing. I'm going to write out a department total line. Then I'm going to reset the hold area and reset the total. If it is not equal, then if it's equal to blanks, rather, then I'm taking the work department number and moving it to the work hold area. I don't know why I'm getting tongue-tied on that. I'm losing the not equals. Okay, do you follow what I'm saying there? Are you able to figure it out even though I can't? Okay, if work hold department is not equal to blanks. Okay, if it's equal to blank, that means nothing's ever been there. And so I take the else and I put it in. If it's not equal to blanks, then I go ahead and process it as a break. So I write out a total line and I reset. Okay? It's a break. I write out the total line and I reset. Okay? That ends the checking for breaks. Then I come down to the next line and say, okay, now I am going to put the information that I just set up out on the line, and I am going to add to the minor total and add to the final total. Okay, so I'm putting the information out on the line. So I'm writing the first line. Mm-hmm. when I hit end of file, which is down at the bottom,
then I put up a message box that tells me I'm at end of file, and I put out the last department total, and I put out the final total. Those are the totals I was adding to up there. So I put out the last department total, and I put out the final total.
And the exit just exits. So the only thing that I did in the open was I opened the file and I set the work hold area to quote, just to make sure. Okay, pretty much you can assume that that's the way things get handled, but it's better if you set them. So I set the work hold department equal to space.
And that's the test that I'm making down here. If work hold department is equal to space, I come down here and we'll move the work department to work hold. Okay, so if the work hold is empty, I go down there and do the move.
Okay? Does that make sense? Ask questions if it doesn't. Okay. The next one we're going to look at was saying closed solution. I don't want to save anything. And I'm opening the one that is going to have multiple breaks. So MIM is the one I'm opening. Curious. This one's working fine. I don't know why the other one decided not to work, but this one's working fine. So here I go, and I keep clicking, and it keeps doing things. And end of file has been reached, and you can see when end of file has been reached, I write out the department total, the branch total, the division total, and the final total. So I write those all out. Okay. So I have, at the beginning, I'm writing each one at a time. And what I want you to do is change that. And we will go back to working on that in a minute.
Is that for homework?
Yeah.
To just change it so that you hit the button once and it all just...
That's right.
Okay.
And I think we actually have some time, so I think we can actually start. We'll see how we go, but I think we'll have 10 or 15 minutes so you can get that in here. So there is the processing. And you can see the breaks. Whoops. Took a picture of the wrong thing. Okay, so you can see when you started out that it just had one line and it was generating one line at a time. It'll probably never work again. So we start out here. And I've got all my work areas set up, all the things I need. I've got hold areas for department, for branch, for division. I've got totals for minor, intermediate, major, and final. And I've got those all set up in the general area. So they are available to all procedures. Then when I do the open with file open, okay, I am getting the file, which this time I was able to get successfully, and I'm setting all of the hold areas to quote, which means to empty, to nothing. So I'm setting all of the hold areas. Okay. So now I come down and I say, when I hit the process, this is what happens.
Okay, so I say, if work whole division is equal to emptiness, then I set all of the hold areas.
Okay? Because I just made them empty when I started the program. I only have to check one of them. If the division one is empty, then I'm going to set all of them. I could have checked the branch one. I could have checked the department one. But I just checked. And if that's true, then I set all of the hold areas. And then I have an end if. This is just a little different style than I used on the other one. Each one is equally workable. So then I'm saying, okay, if the hold division is not equal to work division number. Work division number is the thing I read. There's the things that I read. Work division number is the thing I read, and I'm comparing it to the hold area. Okay? And if it is equal to the hold area, then I'm going to keep going. If it's not equal, then I am going to write out a department total, write out a branch total, write out a division total, reset all three hold areas, reset all three totals. Else, if the division is not changed, I check to see, has the branch changed? And if the branch has changed, then I am going to write out the branch and the department first. Then I'm going to write out the branch and the department. I'm going to reset the branch and department hold areas, and I'm going to zero out their totals. Else, if they're equal, then I'm checking to see if there was a break in department. If there was, I write out the department total, I set the hold area, and I zero out the accumulator. Okay, else means up at the top, that else right there, or actually I should have covered the stuff before it, but that else right there goes with the if not end of file. So the else at the bottom goes with the if not end of file. I'm sorry, I skipped this part. After I check for department break, and I'm done checking for all the breaks, I've got three end ifs. And then I come in and say, okay, now add a line that says this. Okay? And so I'm writing out the line. Okay, I'm writing out the line. So if I look at this, when I hit process, I'm writing out that line. Okay. That's this line right here is what I'm writing out. So I'm writing out that line right there. And then after I've written that line, I say, okay, now add that amount to all of my totals, including the final total. Add it to all of my totals. And then I have an else, and I have a message box that puts up the message at the end of file, and I write out all my totals, and then I close my file, because if I've written all my totals, I'm done. So I close my files, and I'm done. Okay. So that's the processing that goes on. Now what I want is, this is a pain in the neck. Okay, to have to click. Imagine 5,000 records out there and you've got to click every time. Okay, so what I want to do is put up a total. Put up a process button that will generate the whole thing. So I want you to put this inside a loop and figure out where the loop should go and how it should work in here such that you can process the whole thing with one push of the process button. So I want to see everything with one push of the process button. So I'll give you 15 minutes because that's where we stand, and I want them to start something else. To do that, you can talk to somebody else about it, you can work on it alone, but I want you to fix this one, the minor, intermediate, major one. You don't have to fix the other one. Fix this one, the minor, intermediate, major one. So that you get it to loop.
Okay.